Amen. I'd like you to open your Bibles tonight, please, to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. And I'd like you to look at verses 24 through 28. Proverbs chapter 30. The Bible expresses the importance of little things. It talks about a little rudder on a ship can steer a great big vessel. Little habits and character are important. And talks about the importance of children. And in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 through 28, we see some big lessons from little things. Okay, did you find it? All right. There be four things which are little upon the earth, that they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in the king's palaces. Now let's pray and ask God to bless the message tonight. Father, we thank you for the privilege to come together tonight, and we ask that you'd bless your word to our hearts, and we thank you for it. We also ask that you'd be with Connie tonight and help her, Lord, in her situation. We also pray for Mr. Miller, that you'd help his blood pressure to come down. And for all those that are sick in our church and afflicted, we ask you to be with them tonight in a special way. And all God's people said, amen. Well, big lessons from little things. Four things that God mentions here I'd like to call your attention to. And very briefly, they're named as the ant, conies. I've learned something about conies this week. The locust, I learned something about locusts this week. And also the spider. I don't want to know too much about spiders. They scare me. But here we find that the ant realizes the need for preparation. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 6 through 8, we have some more insight. You know, Proverbs is a great book to learn wisdom. Proverbs for wisdom. Psalms for praises. Book of Acts for power. Those three books are great books to read a little bit each day. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, no overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. The ant realizes the need of provision. He knows that he must prepare for the future. He knows that no other ant can do it for him. Amen. God says, consider the ant and be wise. Learn from the ant. He knows that he must prepare while he has opportunity. Amen. You know, every day we're getting older. Amen. I don't want to miss church. You know why? A lot of reasons. One reason is because one day I may be too feeble to come. Amen. I know some of our folks, they struggle to make it on Sunday morning, and they look as surprised as I am to see them. But I say, thank God they made it. Amen. We don't know, you know, how many opportunities we have to come to church. We don't know how long we're going to keep our sound thinking. Amen. I mean, I love my mother-in-law, but she just doesn't think straight anymore, and she can't help it. We don't know how long we're going to have our thinking. Amen. But the ant knows that he's got to prepare while he has opportunity. Now the word go to the ant, that means take action. Be diligent to work and to accumulate. Not so much that we obtain wealth, but that we will not be a burden to others. We can learn much from God's creation. The lazy is that way because they don't consider. They don't think about what it's going to lead to. They just complain about how things are. If we're to grow in grace, we must go to God's word and carefully consider it, to think about it. It's interesting that the Bible says the ants, go to the ant, they're a people. God calls them a people, amen? That's pretty nice. You say, why does God call them a people? Well, I found out a couple of things that I've been reminded of this week. I think God calls them a people because, number one, they have houses, they have towns, they have their own towns, they have their own public roads. That's a people, amen? And they prepare their meat in due season by their God-given instinct. And God says to consider the ant. Think about them. They prepare for the future. Oh, I wished that people would get a hold of this concept, because all men must meet God. They need to be preparing for that day when they meet God. Amen? Who would think of taking a long trip without any preparation or any plans? Just recently, Mrs. Jenke and I, we took a quick trip down to Louisiana. I almost forgot where I went. See, it's starting already. So I could tell you stories that would really make you pray for me. I start off going in one direction and I end up some other place simply because of habit. It happened this week. I don't even remember who was with me. See that? And I ended up stopping at some place where I used to stop for bagels every day as a school teacher. Why? Must have been the time of the day and the place where I was, and I pulled over and I said, why are we here? Oh, well, now I got to explain why I'm here. Oh, it was Brother Don Hodge. I was taking him out to eat yesterday, wound up at the bagel shop. He said, what do they got here? I said, never mind. I said, you don't want to know. But that little trip to New Orleans, I'll tell you, we were running around making calls, packing clothes, looking for suitcases, going in the attic, hitting our heads up there, tripping, making sure that everything's taken care of, making sure that someone was going to come and watch Linda's mother, my mother-in-law, and also the dog. Take care of the dog. Don't forget the dog. We had to make sure we had the gifts that we wanted to bring to our grandchildren. We had to weigh them. We had to make sure they're the right size and not weigh too much weight. And all this had to be done just for a short trip to New Orleans. And yet, how many people are going to meet God Almighty, their Creator, one day and have made absolutely no preparations at all? How sad. Amen. Oh, listen, consider the ant, God's word says. They're a people. They got houses, they got streets, they got highways. They got it all. And we can learn a lot from them, that's for sure. And so, by the ant, we learn the lesson of preparation. It's appointed unto man once to die. Amen? Forget about reincarnation, because it's just not there. One appointment with death. But after this, the judgment. After that, we face our Maker. How surprised some people are going to be. When they face death, they make their appointment and they're standing before God. And they hadn't considered God their whole life. How sad and how terrible that will be. But all men must prepare to meet God while they have opportunity. Amen. Every day is a new day. Amen. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. We don't know how many we have. I know someone tonight, good person, good Christian, angry at God. It's a losing battle right there. Angry at God because they don't like the way things are going. Who are we to question God Almighty? I don't have answers to a lot of questions about what He does. It's a mystery to me. But I'm certainly not going to tell Him what to do, or even presume to tell Him what to do in situations that He's got under control. That's for sure. I don't understand a lot of things. But we go to the ant to learn the lesson of preparation. And the number two, the Bible says in verse 26, the conies are a feeble, there he goes, calling them folk. Amen. Calling them folk, a feeble folk. Yet make they their houses in the rocks. The conies make their houses in the rocks. The conies are a very small animal. And they kind of look like rabbits, but their ears are round. And they can make a bleeping sound. And the conies, They're very interesting. They make hay from grass, and they take the grass and hide it under rocks so it can dry. And by doing that, they'll have food in the wintertime. And they're not equipped for fighting. They're not equipped for defending themselves. And yet they've survived thousands of generations. And God says we can learn a lesson from the conies. The conies realize their weakness. The conies flee to the rocks for protection. The conies are just as safe as their hiding place. And when God says, consider the conies, he's telling us that we should consider our hiding place. Where is our hiding place? Well, we sang about it tonight, didn't we? Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A weary land, a weary land. Yes, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of what? Storm. Look at Isaiah 32, please. Isaiah 32, 2. Let me know when you find Isaiah 32, 2. Find it? You can say yes or amen or I'm getting there or I'll just listen. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And let's look also at Psalm 61, please. Psalm 61, verses 1 through 4, charge. Get you ready for Sunday school next week. Psalm 61, 1 through 4. Now, I'm rejoicing, too, over the Sunday school. It's going good, having visitors, and that's great. Psalm 61, 1 through 4. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the what? To the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. Amen. We as Christians, we are to make our home in the rock, Christ Jesus. Amen. Not just to visit the rock, but abide in the rock. Abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is our rock of defense. Our security does not depend on our strength also. Like the conies, their strength is their ability to flee to that rock, and they're quick. Can't catch them. They got their hiding places, and they're there as soon as danger comes. They're not equipped to fight. They're not equipped for anything except that speed to get to those rocks. And you know, the Apostle Paul also says that he glories in his weakness. He says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. And so consider the conies. They are weak, they're small, but they have a hiding place. And this teaches us that we have no strength in ourselves. Amen. But we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we learned a lesson of security from that little animal with the round ears that makes a strange noise and can run like crazy to its hiding place and is safe there. It's geared for speed to go to that rock. Amen. It's not made for defense. It's not made to defend itself, just to run, to hide to that place. Consider the conies. They are a feeble folk, but yet we learn a lesson of security about them. The third big lesson we learned from a small thing is the locust. And we go back to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Let me get there again. I lost my spot. I didn't forget it. That's good. Anyway, Proverbs chapter 30. The locusts, verse 27, have no king. Yet go they forth, all of them by bands. The locusts don't have a king, and yet they have unity. We learned a lesson from locusts about unity. They're the great big family, and they have a common goal. A common goal, to work together. Amen? In Australia, there's over 7,000 species of locusts and grasshoppers. You say, what's the difference between locusts and grasshoppers? You can't tell the difference. They look identically the same. The only difference is the locusts have this uncanny ability to form armies without any ruler and march forward, and they're eating machines. The grasshoppers, you put a bunch of grasshoppers here and a bunch of locusts here, which is impossible to do because they all look the same. The grasshoppers go in every which way direction. Amen. I guess sometimes we're like that. We're all doing our own thing. And God wants us to be like the locusts, which are by their own God-given instinct. They have the ability to form bands and armies, mighty armies. And, of course, they destroy a lot of food. They're an eating machine. But imagine over 700 species in one country, one continent, an eating machine. They can eat up to one-half its body weight every day. How much do you weigh? Don't tell me. That's quite a feat, isn't it? Imagine if you could eat one-half of your body weight every day. That's a lot of stuff to eat. Amen. And we go to learn about the locusts, we learn about their unity. And when we learn about their unity, I think we learn a great lesson on how that every member of the church is important. And we all have a job to do. Matthew chapter 12. I'd like you to look there. Matthew chapter 12. Charge. Matthew 12:25. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself. What? That's right. You know what kills a lot of churches? Disunity. Arguing. Only by pride comes contention. Did you know that? That's true in the home. By pride, contention, everybody wanting their own way. But you know, when everybody in the home prays, those walls dissolve. Amen. And that's why prayer is so important in the Christian life. It's important in our family life. It's important in our church life. And so, Psalm 133 also teaches us this great truth. Find it. Behold, that means something really great's going to follow. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. What? Unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. That was a long beard. I've never grown one that long. I usually get bored with it after a few weeks. And a few comments from Mrs. Janke. As the dew of Hermon, oh, she left, didn't hear that. And as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. But God's word says, it is good and it's pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. I'll tell you, it's great when a church has unity. It's wonderful when a family has unity. You know, a church is only made up of families. So if we want unity in our church, we've got to have unity at home. We've got to have peace in the home. Now, it doesn't mean you stay home from church just because you don't have peace. Amen? At all costs, you make it to church, even if you're arguing all the way. Say, Pastor, good Christian people never argue on the way to church. Be honest with me. How many of you have at least once in your lifetime, along with your pastor, argued on the way to church? It happens. It's human nature. And Satan loves it when we're... The only thing he likes better is for us to turn around from going to church because we're arguing and go home. Amen. So, you know, don't give him that satisfaction. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, brothers and sisters in Christ, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know what? When we're caught up in a heated debate, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. There comes a point where it becomes spiritual warfare. And our argument is not with our loved one, but is with someone else that's, you know, trying to stir up trouble. But the locusts we see for unity. All church members are supposed to be in God's family. And the church members are joined together into one body for one purpose. The Bible says that all members are important. And we won't read all the verses, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, most of that chapter talks about the need of each member. Amen? All are important. I mean, we don't say to the foot, I don't have no need of you. It's like the human body, all members working together for good. Amen? If one member suffers, all suffer. You hit your hand with a hammer, your whole body is going to suffer. If one member in the church is having a difficult time, that's a call to prayer for all of us. If one member rejoicing, we should rejoice with them. One member's weeping, we should weep with them. And so, the Bible says we can learn a great lesson of unity about these locusts. They don't have a ruler. They don't have a head. They don't have someone to tell them what to do, but yet they have a God-given instinct to organize. I'll tell you, with the Lord as our head and the Holy Spirit as our guide, imagine what we could do if we really yielded together. Amen? We'll see some great and wonderful things done, that's for sure. And so we learned a lesson of unity from the locust. Lastly, the spider. I don't like spiders. I know there's a purpose for them. I think I've been battling these same spiders at my house my whole life. My front door opens, the screen door opens, or the storm door, and in that one corner between the storm door and the front light, there's always a cobweb there. It doesn't matter how many times you knock it down. You give it a day or two, and it's back up again. And this is the tenacity and the gall of these spiders. They don't know when to lay down and quit. They don't quit. And it's a lesson on faith. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 28, our Bible says, the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in the king's palaces. The spider. You can knock them down. You can knock the web down. But you give them a day or two and they're at it again. And I believe God wants us to be like that. God wants us to be that consistent because we're always going to have disappointments. Every bus worker knows that. You can go out and visit even all day Saturday and have 100 promises. And the next day, Sunday, you might only have a small percent of them that will show up. And not only that, you might even find out your best family is moving. If you didn't have the tenacity of a spider, you'd say, what good is it? Every Sunday school teacher knows that. You study, you pray for your class, you come to church, and you might have a Sunday where even nobody shows up in your class. Amen? The natural thing would be to just want to give up and quit. Amen? God wants us to be like that spider. Wants us to be tenacious like that. The strength of a spider to keep on going. You know, we always want the easy way. I tell teenagers all the time. We complain about the hard. Teenagers always think that their life is the hardest life in the world. They complain because it's hard. They want to quit the difficult. I knew a kid. This is the truth. And the next time I tell you the truth, I'll warn you. We accepted him into school. He's a little older. He did all the work that he was missing. He only had one report to do. It was a big one, with footnotes and many pages. And he had all year to do it. but he hated English, and this was his most difficult test. All he had to do was that report to graduate. And he sat there day after day. All the other work was done. Couldn't do the note cards. I didn't like doing the note cards. Just sat there. Everyone tried to help him. Didn't do the note cards, didn't do the rough draft. And when he started, just because it was handed back with corrections, wouldn't do the corrections. That young man decided he did not want to graduate. Can you imagine? That close. All he had to do was to make up his mind and his attitude that he was going to do something that was hard and difficult and to pitch in and to just do whatever it takes to get it done. He decided that he would rather not bother. How sad. You know that young man's going to be quitting all his life if he's not careful. So many young people reach for the easy when they should be grasping the difficult. Kids will be glad one day if their parent or parents are tough on them. Amen. You know what teacher they're going to remember? The tough one. The one that wouldn't listen to their excuses. The one that gave them the most homework. The one that was the hardest on them. Maybe they didn't get the best grade, but they're going to remember that teacher. They're not going to remember the teacher that was buddy-buddy with them. And just let them go. Amen. Oh, yes. Kids one day will thank God if they have parents that are tough. And they'll appreciate the difficult teacher. That's the one they'll remember. All the teachers I had in 12 years of my public education, I only remember about three. I remember my kindergarten teacher because she was pretty. I won't tell you her name because you'll laugh. And I don't want anyone to laugh at my kindergarten teacher. She's probably in heaven now. But I only remember three. And those are the ones that I really didn't care for at the time because they made me work and they held me accountable. Yes, young people need to tackle the things that are hard, hard to do. Yes, we learn a lesson about faith from the spider. You can knock down their webs and they're at it again. So when you get discouraged, or if you feel like quitting, think about that spider. No earthly reason for him to keep doing it. But he does it. And it's a testimony to him. And that's what we need in the church. We need the tenacity of a spider that just keeps on going. I thank God for Christians like that. They may get even fired from their job, but they'll just keep going, keep serving the Lord, look for another job. Amen. Keep at it. Sunday school teachers that keep at it. Bus workers that keep at it. Amen. Churches have their ups and downs. But you know what? If you're following this book, you'll still keep going to church even if someone disappoints you. Amen. I would like to think that if God took me home to heaven tonight, which is not anything that I really would desire. I mean, I'd like to hang around a little while. But if he did, I would like to think that you folks would still be coming to church regularly because you know your Bible. And if a new pastor came, you'd still go to church because you're supposed to go to church. Amen. I've known a lot of churches that had a pastoral change. And after about 3 months, half the church would leave. Well, they were following a man. They weren't following the Bible. Amen. Listen, I follow the Lord. I follow the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. Amen. And if we're following the Lord, that's what's important. Well, the spider. Say, Pastor, are you thinking of leaving us? Nope. Okay, don't. No. But we all are leaving one day. And we're one day closer. One day closer to the goal. And we'll be home with the Lord. When you get discouraged and you think like your work is in vain, Brother Mike is going to take a lot of cobwebs. Build a class from nothing. You got to be like that spider. You got to keep at it. Keep praying. Keep visiting. Keep getting to know those kids in the class. Just keep at it. I remember when we first started the bus route, there were weeks we didn't have anybody. Not one person would come. Amen. Now, everybody came. We're making two trips now, almost. So that means we need another vehicle. But you got to just keep at it. Same old thing all the time. Well, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, that's for sure. What can we learn? What big lessons do we learn from little things? We learn preparation from the ant. You know, I appreciate what Brother Don said this morning about preparation. That's where the victory comes from. Things just don't happen. It takes determined effort. And we learned the lesson of security from the conies. So many times we try to handle things ourselves in our own way. And we make the speech that we wish we never made without praying about it. Learn the lesson of unity from the locust and the lesson of faith from the spider. Okay, well, let's sing a hymn together. We'll go downstairs and have some fellowship. How about 183, Rock of Ages? Do we know that one? All right, let's try it out. 183, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide.